little church this afternoon, this little auditorium that we've made into a church for these services. Pray that your blessings rest upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated.
And good evening to you all. So happy to be here today again in the service of the Lord Jesus to give him praise, thanks for all that he's done for us. So happy for this. Now, it was my grand privilege to come under the invitation of our dear brother Jackson. And I suppose the greater part of the people that's been here has been Brother Jackson's church. I want to thank each and every one of you for what you have been and meant to us. Here some time ago, usually our services is set up on a scale of a full cooperation of all churches. That's the only way that we'll come. Our healing campaign is when all churches cooperate together. The manager comes into the city, he gets all the churches together, then they rent a place, and then they all have no services going on, and everybody comes together for the service. Out of that, then, there's thousands come in. Sometimes our meetings right here in America is one as many as 25,000 at a time. And thousands of people gather in. In that, sinners come in and get saved. Then the ministers who are cooperating in are sitting on the platform. Each one of them knows that the altar call is made. And they get those people and invite them to their churches. It's in their neighborhood. This way, while coming now, we just come under the sponsorship of this one little church for fellowship with Brother Jackson. I love Brother Jackson. I don't think he's present, but I love Brother Jackson, a very fine man. And I'm so glad to know that you've got a pastor like him. I don't know much about him, but I've learned to love him just in a few times I met him. Brother Beeler, he's sitting up here now in the balcony to my left. He was up here and held a meeting, I believe, at Brother Jackson's church. He came back and told me, he said, if you ever met a fine bunch of people, it's up there in Michigan. And then there was some brother that comes over there one time, come by my house. I forget his name right now. I'm sorry. Very fine brother. And he brought me some things to the house there from his farm and so forth, which was just nice, just real. I just appreciate those things. I've just come from Switzerland and Germany. Marvelous meeting, 100,000 converts 2 weeks in Germany. And we just had such a wonderful time. The Lord blessed us in such a way. Come back, we're over to California. I'm having a little rest here before I start now, going back out to the west. Brother Jackson come along and said, Brother Branham, why not come to our place now? Well, in doing so, I couldn't hardly turn Brother Jackson down. He said, now, I said, Brother Jackson, you mean for a healing campaign where there's cooperation amongst all the preachers and churches? And he said, no, Brother Branham, thing to do, just come over. I said, I'll come to your little church. He said, well, we only seat just a few. He said, we'll get the school auditorium. I said, well, if you're going to come over there, we'll extend the time out from one night to being three or four nights. So I come through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we made it so that being that way, usually churches don't have services on Friday night or Saturday night, but they have it on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Therefore, I wouldn't have to interrupt with any brother's service, you see, any service. Just come in for a fellowship where everybody can come in, because it's in my heart to always have fellowship with every man that believes in Jesus Christ, regardless his ideas might not cope with mine, but we'll never mention that. We believe him to be a brother as long as he believes Jesus Christ to be his Savior. No matter if he's Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Christian, Science, Roman, Catholic, whatever he is, doesn't matter to me. As long as he's a child of God, he's my brother. And I believe that. And I wouldn't lay a straw in any denomination's way. I say interdenomination at the time. I was ordained Missionary Baptist Church, where I still have full fellowship. And some of my Baptist friends were studying right here the other night and so forth, and they're wanting to sponsor a meeting on up here in the country a little piece, the Baptist people. I have meetings. I really won't come for Baptists alone. It has to be all of them together, everybody. And in that, many people have said, well, Brother Branham, we thought you were Pentecostal. Well, one time I was preaching, and the Roberts Auditorium in Little Rock, Arkansas. There's a dear old brother there who had been on crutches for years. He stole pencils on the corner. And that night, while having the healing service, his face got stirred up, and the Lord called him, and he picked his crutches up and started running through the building. The next day, here he was running all around over the city with his crutches and a sign on them. These old buddies I don't need no more. Oh, he was having him a big time. So I got to preaching. There's around 4,000 or 5,000 people sitting there then. And he said, just a minute, Brother Brown. Is this a happy? He said, I don't understand this. I said, what's that, brother? And he said, well, I heard you preach. I thought sure you was a Nazarene, because he was a Nazarene. He said, I thought sure you was a Nazarene. Where you preach? And said, I looked around, and there were a lot of them here's Pentecostal. So I thought maybe you were Pentecostal. And now somebody tells me you're a Baptist. I said, I don't get this. I said, oh, that's easy. I said, I'm a Pentecostal Nazarene Baptist. That's just it. By one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. That's right. Whether you're Pentecostal, Nazarene, or Baptist, or whatever you are, by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God by sovereign grace brings us into one body, that is the body of believers, Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that today, to know that I have the privilege of being in this body and being your brother, and to come here to have this little time of fellowship with you. I want to thank Brother Jackson and his church and the visiting ones with us. If you're not all members of Brother Jackson's church, we sure thank you. His pastors and so forth here. I passed by a while ago, and I believe Brother Jackson's church is called People's Church, the People's Church. I've seen one out here called Full Gospel Church. I was riding around, seen one up here called Assemblies of God. And I know they're all full gospel people. And I appreciate you all. And all the rest of the churches, Methodists, Presbyterians, or whatever you are, we see and we love you. Now, one thing you can do for me, it's soon I'm to be out into the big major meetings and overseas, and I pray that God will lay me up on your heart if you'll pray for me while I'm trying to win souls for Christ. I never will forget what the General Overseer of the Baptist Church said to me the night that the vision called me and I was to go pray for the sick. He said, Billy, you had a nightmare. What'd you eat for you that night for supper? I said, Dr. Davis, I don't appreciate that. I said, if you can't cooperate with that, I said, God said so, and it'll be done. He said, do you think that people, kings and potentates and monarchs, go listen to a fellow with a seventh grade education? I said, that's what he said. He said, Billy, I believe you need a rest. I said, all right, Dr. Davis, here's my fellowship card. He said, oh, don't think that way, son. So you went over home, rest a few days. I believe you feel better. I said, but nothing against the Baptist Church. Just as good as any of them. They're all in one great big bunch, and the fact of it is, God will never, you'll never come to heaven, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterian, or you'll come to heaven when you're a Christian, no matter what church you belong to. God will never recognize an organization. Never did. It never was His plan. He never did have an organization, never did organize the people. No time. Man done that. That's right. The first organization is the Mother Church, the Catholic. Out of there come the Luther. Now there come the Methodist. Now there come on down and on down and on down to the last ones and the Pentecostals and so forth in the last days. Exactly. The Roman Catholic Church is the Mother Church of organizations. Before that, they had no organization. So if your organization, and you don't draw a barrier line and condemn the other fella, can reach across the fence and shake hands with the other fella, all right. When I used to pastor up there at the little Baptist Tabernacle, I had a good friend below me in New Albany by the name of Johnston, and he was a Methodist. So here's the kind of fellowship we had. When I got someone converted in my church, and he'd say, Brother Branham, I want you to sprinkle. But my mother's a Methodist, and I was raised up a Methodist, and I said, now look, brother, I tell you what, this is a Baptist church, and I'll tell you what we'll do. You're a fine brother. And I said, I've got a good brother down at the Main Street Methodist Church here in New Albany, just 3 miles north, a wonderful man. And I say, go down there, he'll do the sprinkling. And you be a good member for him, because you'd never make a good member for my church. Certainly not believe in that. So I said, but Brother Johnson's a fine fellow. I said, it's kind of dry down there. Ain't much water. But I tell you, I said, he's a good man and a Christian. A lot of Christians in the church. When he got a convert, he said, Brother Johnson, I want you to baptize me. My people were Baptists. He said, look, you never make me a good member. But said, I got a good friend, Billy, up there at the Baptist Tabernacle up at Jeffersonville. Said, you go up there. Said, he's a fine boy, but said, he'll drown you. He'll hold you under until the last bubble comes up. So that's the kind of fellowship the Methodist and Baptist had as far as Brother Johnson and I, sir. And we all ought to feel that way. Absolutely. Christians and brothers. And we love that with all of our hearts. And fellowship with each other. I remember the services everywhere. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't this kind of a German settlement through here? It looks to me like it looks either Swede or German. I see big, sturdy, healthy-looking people. That looks pretty good. And I was passing through here the other night, and the custodian said he was from Finland. His people were from Finland. I spoke a few words of Finnish to him. I said, Keithus, and you Mellon Raha. And he looked at me, Keithus, thank you, and you Mellon Raha, God's peace be upon you. And I think I'd speak a few words of German, and be able to have people understand me. Say, in Germany, by the way, we had one of the most lovely meetings, if it is a German settlement here, German people. You know, as an American, and I think God, by one Spirit, has made us all one people. And everywhere you go, everywhere around the world, I found out wherever there are Christians, they're all the same. There's no difference in them. Everywhere. And being we've had so much war in Germany and so forth, when I got over there my first time, I thought, my, I better have a lot of trouble over here. But some of the nicest people I ever met. Sure was. They treated me like I was a brother. And in there we had 100,000 converts. I was at Hamburg and Karlsruhe. That's where I had my big meeting at Karlsruhe. And then I went on down into Lausanne and then on over into Zurich, Switzerland. Of course, the Swiss is just a German. I said, the German, his intelligence is master. We know that. He's a great intelligence. Some of our greatest science comes from Germany. And I said, but the trouble with Germany, they get the wrong leadership, and they're trying to make a gun or a bomb that'll destroy the rest of the world, and they'll be masters of it. And the Swiss, I said, well, he's the same intelligence, but he went out there and got in peace and made a watch and sold it to his neighbor. It's kind of peaceful. So that's about the way it goes. But let Christ come to them, and they're all the same. That's right. And I certainly appreciate, or I remember one night, first, is a communistic element in Germany, now which you all know. And we were pretty close to the communist zone, the Russian control. And then when I first started a meeting, it attracted attention there, many, many thousands the first night. And so then the Dutch Reformed Church, the state church, rather, which was really by Zwingli and not Luther. And we had disagreed quite a bit upon the doctrine of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. Now, they don't believe in that in Switzerland. The Swiss church don't believe it. I got their own books right in English. And they say, Zwingli said, that Jesus was the son of Joseph, called the Son of God. If you take that knocks every principle of Christianity out. He was a virgin-born son of God. Joseph had nothing to do with it. He's just the tutor to raising of the father, foster father. Well, Billy Graham come in the night before, but I was to start the next morning. Billy had a wonderful meeting there, a good meeting, but of course the next day the newspapers picked it up, and I never seen such a bunch of scandal he wrote about their dear brother. They said that he come to the platform like he's going to a bandbox, that he put a manicure, what is that you put, permanent, is that right, permanent wave in his hair, and said that he act like a soap salesman on a box swing in his arms when he preached, and said, let's see, said the smell of perfume was pinky. Well, I read the paper next morning. I thought, you're in for it too, boy. I was going to talk about Billy Graham like that. What was I going to get? So we went right on in, right back into the stadium, at right where he left off, and I got mine. But Billy preached on the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. That's right. I tucked right up where he left, went along the same way. But by the grace of God, we went 100,000 in that country too, to the Lord. I remember in Germany, one night, there was such a, the communist that got up there and was going to start a riot, and when they threatened to kill me when I come from the place, we had about, just 40,000, something like that. And I was coming from the place, and the German soldiers, had to mill around and around and around me to get me in a car to keep them from shooting me in a distance like that is, setting out in bushes and so forth. And they asked me if I was afraid to come back. I said, never. I come here by the will of God, see. And I went back the next night. I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I remember we was having a service. Of course, once inside, then you're pretty well safe in there then when you're like that, when you're going in and out, when they set in the dark and you do what they're going to do. And then that night, of course, they were all gazers looking on everywhere, and they was, and in Germany there's a lot of spiritualism and everything else, you know. So it's all seated around, and they sent them up to the platform to be prayed for. And how the Holy Spirit would know who they was. I couldn't pronounce them German names to tell them that and what they had done and what. And about the fourth or fifth person comes, I was turned this way and the ushers, and I was talking to the interpreter. I heard somebody screaming. They put a little blind girl up on the platform and she's going off to a high, much higher than this, like that. And I grabbed her. Just quick, because she was blind, they just turned her loose, and some of them turned around, never noticed, and little things walking off the platform. She's about like my little Rebecca, about this high, little German girl with little plaits hanging down her back, very typical German dress. I just never forget this. And she, I turned around, the interpreter got to her, and she was feeling again for me, just blind. And she got a hold of me, and she said, of course, the interpreter, she said, is this the man that's going to pray for me? I said, yes. And she put her little head over on me like this, and her little hands around me, and she started snubbing like a little kid, you know, on my bosom, with her little head laying up there. And I looked down, I thought, poor little thing. And she'd been blind from birth. She'd never seen her life. Well, as I started to pray for her, have you ever been in one of my meetings? Let's see your hands. Ever been? Well, you understand that all, it seems. The vision began to come and began to tell her what all. And then I noticed that the Lord had pronounced her sight. So when I raised the little fellow up, pulled her little head away from me, she looked out, and the first time she ever seen light in her life, she began to scream and look at those lights. And when she began to point, she said, what are some things like that? And they told her lights. And she was looking around everywhere, batting her little eyes, and it's so excited her mother till she jumped up and started running and run out of her shoes. And she ran to the platform and she tucked her around the waist, the little girl did, and said, are you my mother? I said, why, you're so beautiful. Like that just stopped the communists right now. We just had a lot of that to come to the Lord Jesus then. And then the angel of the Lord, they'd see that and they couldn't hardly believe it. They said they had the original pictures that was taken of it here in America. So the Germans asked me, said, we have good limbs, that's right. Said, do you mind if we try to take the picture? I said, not at all. That's all right. So we had a meeting the next morning, or luncheon at 11 o'clock, with the Dutch Reformed Church, and there's about 300 ministers there. And so this German come and set his big roller camera up down there. He said, can I take pictures? He said, now will you wave your hand or tell me some way that when that inspiration's coming where I can see if my camera will take that angel, that pillar of fire? I said, yes, sir. And so we was having breakfast and lunch, rather, and we were talking, and he had taken several pictures like that. And he had some kind of a roll in it. He'd turn it and then over here and squeeze a little thing, and it would take the picture, and then he'd, I don't know what he was doing behind there, standing there, a big camera set up on a revolving affair like this. And just then, the angel of the Lord began to come. I waved to him. I said to the audience, I said, this is the inspiration. And he began to speak, and I said, the man sitting there with the Roman collar on, I said, he's not a German, he's an Italian. I said, he's just given up his position of being a leader of 22,000 communists. He picked up a Bible and had read it and has come to Christ. And he's from Italy, and he has a little school hid way up in the mountains. And I said, the reason that he never eat his breakfast this morning, because he has such stomach trouble, that for years he's had this stomach trouble. And every speck of it was the truth. And I said, now, thus saith the Lord, my brother, eat your breakfast, your stomach trouble's finished. He just started eating his eggs and things. All the time this German, when that was on, was snapping these pictures. See, bring and roll his camera, snap the pictures. And when he taken them out for developing, and when he come back, there it was, it just shook the whole country. There was the angel of the Lord coming down. There's where the anointed and began to talk. There's where the inspiration left when it went away, every bit right there. Well, that just showed thousands upon thousands to the Lord Jesus Christ in Germany. Going back over again this summer, and we're going to have up there somewhere around Berlin, a big stadium that Hitler built out there, seats about 180,000, something like that, for the services in Germany. This coming year, the Lord willing, along perhaps towards the fall, after the American campaign is over. Oh my, so many things that our Lord has done. I wonder sometimes when it's all over, and we have to work today. You know, I'd like to come down to each one of you and shake your hand. I'd like to go down to your house and spend a little time with you, talk with you. I wish I could do that. I can't. You'd be surprised. Perhaps as many people are sitting in this building visit my house in a run of 2 or 3 days. See? And it's just everywhere. Hotels lay full. People from all over the world come in from Finland, from Germany, from India, from Austria, from everywhere. See? Coming in to be prayed for from all over the world. And therefore, I must be going from place to place. But here's one appointment I want to make with you people at Sturgis. I hope someday I can get back sometime when we have this little assembly of God Church and this other church and all the churches around to cooperate together and come in and have a healing campaign. Until that time, if I never meet you again, someday where we won't have a healing service, never need one no more, at the other side of the river, I want to meet you there. I have the same testimony then I have now, saved by the grace of God. That's right. Saved by His grace. Now I know this, that one day I've got to come to the end of the road. I don't know when it'll be. Most all Branham, when you get old, many of them has lived to be old. My grandmother was 110. My grandfather lived to be 98 on my father's side. My grandfather on my mother's side just died a few years ago, about 5 years ago, at around 90-something. But my father died at 52. Drinking killed him. But I may live to be old. Usually when they get old, they get the palsy. Shake when they get old. That's just the nature of Branham. Like was the nature for Isaac to be blind, and Jacob went blind, and so forth like that. Just the nature of our family. And someday, maybe with the gray beard hairs hanging around my face, and I'm an old man, I've come to the end of the road, and I know the time is coming, I'm at the banks of the river, I can hear the breakers are roaring and know that I've got to go over. I want to look back down through every brow pile that I've come to and every mountain that I've climbed and see that I've tried to leave the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Then what I want to do is take off the helmet of salvation, lay down the shield, take the old sword and stick it back in the sheath of eternity, and cry with all my heart as I'm leaning on my stick, shaking, push out the lifeboat, Lord, because I'm coming home this morning. I'll be there one day. I'll meet you. Till then, may God's richest blessings be with you. Remember, if I can ever be a favor to you, write to me. I'll do anything I can to help you. I've often said, people I come the night with, but I can't do that. It's just too many. It's thousands times thousands of sinners. I'm sure you wouldn't understand. So I can't do that. And I don't tell you to write to me, radio evangelists and things, which is perfectly all right. They want people to write so they can get their address and for money. We never use a penny of money. God knows that. I could have been a 10 times a rich man today if I wanted to, and just not want. I never asked for a penny in my, never took an offering in my life. And I've refused to, one time $1,500,000 at one time when an FBI agent brought it to me. Papers rolled it up. I said, I don't want money. It isn't money. I wear a hand-me-down. This soup was given to me in Norway 6 years ago. I've been wearing it ever since. Not as I have to. I could stay in better hotels and so forth. But Christians, Christian is a life you live. You're supposed to live like. I want to be just like the people that come to me seeking Christ. God, keep me. That way is my prayer. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, testimonies, songs, and all glory be to Thee. It's all of Thee. We thank Thee today because that Thou hast given us this wonderful promise that some glorious day we shall see Him as He is. Then we shall see each other and sit down with the prophets in the kingdom of God, and the great man Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, Ezekiel, many of the others. And I pray Thee, Heavenly Father, today that You'll let that be our great intent in our hearts. Our heart's desire is to meet that hour. Now, as we're just fixing to open up the Bible, we realize that any man or woman, boy or girl, that has physical use of their hands could turn open the Bible. That's just opening the book. But no man can really open it but You, Lord. We see where John said in the vision, one set upon a throne with a book sealed on the backside with 7 seals, and no man in heaven, no man in earth or beneath the earth was worthy to take the book or to open the book or loose the seal. But one, a lamb bladed, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne, and was worthy to take the book and to loose the seal. And we pray, God, that same lamb will open this book for us today. Speak into our hearts, Lord, that which is appropriate, knowing that we are eternity-bound people. We've got our heads bowed to the dust from which we were taken, and someday, if Jesus tarries, we shall return back to the dust. But we're speaking to these souls immortal that dwells within us that shall never die and will spend an eternity somewhere. God, if there's any here, God, heading the wrong way, may they turn back to Calvary today and be reconciled to God through Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen. Now to you that's got your Bible, you might turn to Joel 2 or to Acts 2. Either one, because it's both the same. It's a wonderful, not a coincidence, but I wouldn't say that Scriptures were set in order inspiredly like this. But it's amazing to see that Joel in the second chapter wrote the same thing that Luke wrote in the second chapter of Acts, both of them, the second chapter, beginning about the 15th verse. We'll read a portion of the Scripture. It was immediately after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we want to read what Peter, addressing the congregation, the Holy Ghost had fallen upon the believers as they were commanded to go and wait for the power of God. Peter speaking said, "For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old man shall dream dreams, and all my servants and all my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May we pause here for a moment and take under consideration these things that was prophesied. Now, we know that as Christian believers, how many Christians are here today? Raise your hand. Just how many Christian believers? Oh, that's marvelous. And that's very good. As Christian people, we believe that this is the infallible Word of God, don't we? We have to believe that to be Christians. There's no mistake in it anywhere. It's perfect. And every word, maybe we don't understand it. We're not supposed to understand it. And Christianity cannot be understood. It's to be lived. By faith we do these things. The whole works is by faith, through grace. Now, the prophets prophesied of things. They didn't know what they were talking about. They just said them. They didn't understand. Daniel said he couldn't understand, but he just wrote it out. Because it wasn't for his day, the angel told him to close up the book until the end time. Then he would run to and fro, knowledge increased, and at that time he'd stand in his lap, and at the end of the time, and all these things would take place. He didn't understand it. Many of the prophets writing did not know what they were writing. They just wrote it down because it was inspiration. And now, Peter picks up Joel's prophecy here. It's in the early age of the church. Most all believers know that the church was inaugurated at Pentecost. And many times, we Pentecostal people call ourselves Pentecostal, and we got the wrong name. The Pentecostal people were the other side, the Jews. They were up there at Pentecost. We're the church of the firstborn, see. Not Pentecost, the worshipers of Pentecost was up there. We call this the Pentecostal blessing and so forth. And all churches, in a measure, wants to say that they are part of Pentecost because that's where it began. Where the word Pentecost is the word 50, where the outgoing of the first fruit of the harvest is brought together as the feast time of the early harvest. Means 50, which was after the cleansing of the sanctuary in 40 days, then they had Pentecost. And many of you Bible scholars would have to tear that down because you understand it. And as Christians, perhaps have heard your well-trained pastors preach those things. Now, after this great thing had happened, it had happened in a way that they didn't understand it. They couldn't understand. They were all looking for the coming of the Christ. We are aware of that. But the way he came was so different from the way they had figured out till it just turned them around. They didn't know. God usually does that at every junction station of his time. He did that. The people will get out and they'll figure out that it has to be this way. It's just got to be this way. And they'll have it all blueprinted. Don't think we haven't got it today. We've all got a blueprint of just the way Christ is going to come, everything. And we get charts, and I believe sometimes we know more about the charts than we know about Christ. It's all been figured out. Each denomination, many times each individual, has his own way, and perhaps will come different from any of us think. God usually does it that way. Because you can't figure out God, you just believe God and walk on by faith. No way of figuring him out. Look at how easy it would have been. The Lord, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, why, it looks like that if there had been anybody that would have received it, would have been Caiaphas as a high priest and the great clergyman and so forth. The angels ought to have come to them because they were ministers and told them that the Christ was born. But God turns right back around, and the first ones recognized it was a bunch of stargazers, astronomers. He came from the east, coming westward, to recognize it. See the mystic star. Nobody else saw the star. They saw it. Why? Because it was given to them. Some people say, I can see spiritual things. They see it. Others say, I don't see it. But it wasn't given to you to see it, maybe. Well, they even kept time by the observatories that was on the top of the cities. And that star passed over every city, as far as we know, coming eastward. And For over 2 years, the wise man was in Germany, coming from the East Coast. When they got there, Christ was 2 years old. Now, your tradition of the wise man finding a baby laying in a manger, you just might as well forget that, because that's the tradition. It wasn't a baby. They was looking for a child 2 years old, a young child, not an infant. And they killed all the children right then from 2 years old down to catch it, you see. Because they never come to an infant, they come to a young child. And they were 2 years in their journey following this star. And do you believe this stuff? Surely did. The Bible said so, but nobody else saw it. Many times the angel of the Lord appears right in, and people scream and look at it. And they say, I didn't see it. So the brother ran out, everybody ought to see it. Oh, no. Paul was on his road down to Damascus to arrest the people that were having a revival down there. And the angel of Christ came down in a bright light, and he would put Paul's eyes out. It was so bright. And there was none of the rest of the name with him saw it. Nobody saw it. It was so personal to Paul that his eyes went out. And he had to be led by his hands. Is that right? And the man with him, they didn't see no light. They didn't see anything about it. But that's how it can be so real to some people, and some people know nothing about it. See? God reveals himself the way he wants to the people he wants to. It's his sovereign will. He hardens who he hardens and justifies who he justifies. It lays in God's hand, not my hand or your hand. It lays in God's hand for what he will do. The Bible says so. You realize that? Did you ever read over in Romans 9? I said, before either boy was born, Esau or Jacob, said, I hate one and love the other one. How could he be just in doing that? By foreknowledge, you know what a rascal Esau was. See? And he could predestinate. Now, to say that a word predestinate is not a good word to use. It's foreknowledge. Because he would just deliberately turn you away because he wants you to go away. He's not willing that any of you should perish. But by foreknowledge, he knows what you'll do even before you ever come on the earth. Sure, foreknowledge. He's infinite. He's God. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. See? He knows all things, all wisdom, all time, covers all space, all power. He's infinite. And if he isn't that, he's not God. If he isn't Almighty God, if he can't do all things, he's not Almighty God. But if he is Almighty God, he can do all things. See? So that's the way we have to believe him. So here it has been foretold that this time would take place. Now here's the message I want to get to you this afternoon. There is a stir in the world today. You know that. It started. And we've been about 8 years in it. A revival moving up. Signs and wonders are being taking place. Now the scientific world can't deny divine healing anymore. Even the doctors and science and everything recognize it to be true. What's it all about? Why is it today that you see these meetings go on, and why is it all churches just all join right in and join hands and go with it? Why don't they do it? We are recognized. I'm not here as an impersonator of Christianity. I'm not here as a deceiver. I'll be home with my family today, enjoying what few days I have home. I come here because I have a message in my heart that I want to produce to you all, or to introduce to you all, rather. And that's why I come. I love you. And I realize that someday I've got to give an account for every word and every meeting I ever had. And every word I've got to answer for it at the judgment. And if I don't tell the truth, God will hold me responsible and not you. So there it is. But if I warn the people, then the blood's not on me. If I know it and don't, then I'm required. And you minister brothers know that. And thank God for your positions and your courage to warn the people of the times to come. Now, we're living, and anyone sensible knows that we're living in the shadows of some great destruction. I seen a scene one day of a lamb out waiting in a field. And the little fellow got nervous all at once. No one could see nothing. Why? This little lamb just felt uneasy. He just kept looking around. He didn't know what to do. He'd reach down and get a mouthful of grass. He'd look around. He didn't know what to do. Watching through a grass right not far from him come a big black mane lion. Slipping out. He couldn't see it. There's no way for him to see it. But instinct told that little lamb that danger was at hand. He was nervous. He was restful. Hadn't shot the lion, he'd have got the lamb. But there was the lion slipping up on this poor little fellow out there in the field, and he couldn't see it, he couldn't hear it. But there was instinct in him that told him that there was danger near. Look at little ducks. They go up here to your north land, and in the springtime, they fly up there. They get on the marshy pond, and there they lay their eggs and hatch out their little ones. All summer, they're on that pond. Out of that litter of ducks, there's a drake, a little drake born, that's actually born the leader. Every duck on the pond knows he's the leader. They know it. And just as soon as the first little cold breeze begins to settle in the early September, and that little frost begins to hit the top of the mountain, Jenner, and then that little drake will run right out on the middle of that pond, stick that little honker he's up in the air, and honk four or five times, and every duck on the pond will come to him. Right. And what will he do? He's never been out of that pond. He don't know nothing else but that pond. That's all he knows. He was born there that spring. He's been raised and fed on that pond. He never was off of it. But he'll raise right up there and go just as straight to Louisiana as he can go. Without a compass, without a fly. It's instinct. Every duck knows their leader. They know he's the leader. No matter which way he goes, they'll follow him. Ducks with instinct know how to follow their leader, but man with the Holy Ghost fails to follow his leader. If a duck ought to know, and has sense enough to know to follow his leader from danger to safety, how much more ought a Christian to follow the leader, the Holy Spirit, that'll lead you from danger. The whole world's a shaking. I go into Germany. Oh, what do we do? I go into India. What are we going to do? I go into Switzerland, everywhere. What are they going to do? The whole world is shaking. The United States is shaking. The great bureaus and so forth, and the great Pentagon, and all that investigating supernatural things, flying saucers, what are they? Oh, they say we've seen little man in them, all kinds of stories. They're trying to deny it, but they're there. Why? God said that there'd be signs in the heavens above. And in the earth, we got it. They're praying. Last week, you seen the big lines in the paper all through Tennessee and down there. I've seen in your paper tonight where this general said it, a pact on the United States was easy to happen. Sure. Certainly. They're getting out private watchers to watch the skies for planes. What's the matter? Everybody's shaking. They're trying now, figuring on moving the White House and all of its cabinets down in Kentucky, back into them caves and things. What's the matter? The Lamb is shaking because the Lamb is coming up. Everybody knows it's sensible and got good mental powers and reason, knows that something's fixing to happen. And if you look at this blessed old God's book, it predicts these things to be. We're here at the inroads. And friends, it behooves you to sit down and take inventory of yourself. And to be sure, if you went to the restaurant and took a bowl of soup and it had a fly on it, you'd kick it away, and what a fuss you'd raise with it. I'll never eat in this place again, if that's the way you cook your food. You don't want that little body of yours that nothing bad goes into it, but poke any kind of poison there is in your soul. That's right. They come from the Word of God. Don't take any petty soft bread saying we need to take off our shirts and preach the gospel. Right, the power of God unto salvation, and stand on God's Word and His promises. We see the Bible said that these things would happen. He said in the last days of these scoffers making fun and pointing their fingers and saying there's no such things in the days of miracles as fast. But he said he'd have a church that signs and wonders would be following that church. We got it! Now, it's been in all ages. When God first made creation in a phenomenal way, when he spoke the world into existence and drove the stars and the moons off of his hand, that's to say, spoke the word and it came into existence. The very earth that you're sitting on today was the created word of God. If he didn't speak the world into existence, where did he get the material to make it out of? Where did it come from? Sure it is. He spoke it into existence. It's the word of God. The very dirt and things that you're sitting on today is the created word of God. You're here because you come into creation by the speaking of the word of God. Every one of you. And notice, as you get old, die away, go back to the dust of the earth. The earth is the mother of every natural thing that I can see. Certainly. Now I want you to notice a minute. When God made Adam and Eve and made the creation and everything, it was beautiful. God, while Adam had control of the powers of God, he could speak anything, he'd obey him just exactly like it would God. He had a perfect fellowship with God, walked with Him, talked with Him, communed with Him, had a fellowship. Then when Adam and Eve, when he sinned and they went out of the Garden of Eden, they come on down, and the world began unfolding, and as it unfolded more and more, the first thing you know, cities began to build. That's one great sign of the end time. Our little city of Jeffersonville has raised from about 14,000, it's a little river city, from 14,000 to around 30-something thousand in the last few years. They're carrying out all the farms and everything else, making housing projects. What's the matter? It's a sign of the end time. Right. And that day we found out they begin to work with copper. They begin to work with metal. Look at today, even making ships and planes and everything else. Metal workers. Great intelligence. A great time of school. Great educational program. Just before the end of the world. And Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look at the way I was talking to Mrs. Woods, Mr. Woods, today while we were eating dinner up on the divorce cases and things in the United States. We have the highest rate of divorces of all the world put together. We have more divorces. Marrying, the Bible said, be marrying, given in marriage, eating, drinking, the morals and so forth that they'd have. How to date, marrying and giving in marriage, the Reno, Nevada's. Man go out and live with a marry a girl, take her for his wife, live with her a few days, they don't like her, he kicks her off without the court. Ungodly people give him a divorce and allow to marry another. But God says that's wrong. Right. But they do it. Our civilization is crumbling. We see that? It's a sign, a post that we're at the end time. Notice, all these great buildings and these great things are going on just the same way. Now I'm going to hurt your feelings for a minute. I tell you, when you preach the gospel, you can't expect people for what somebody's going to get hurt. But I tell you, take it for just a little bit. Then examine it by the Word of God. Mama used to tell me, when I was a little boy, we was raised all the poor. Only thing, we didn't have nothing to eat. We'd take old corn pone. We didn't even have any meat. Mama take some shortening, you put in the bread, and she'd take meat skins and boil them, or fry them in an old dish pan or bread pan, and make the grease that went into the corn pone. And we had to live so poor. Now, I know every Saturday night when us kids would come home and be in school and so forth, Mama believed in castor oil. Every night, take a big dose, a Saturday night, a dose of castor oil. I got through it, I tell you, I just despised it. Not a whole lot of those. I said, Mama, it makes me so sick. She said, if it don't make you sick, it don't do you any good. Now, that's the same thing by the gospel. You don't, it'll fill up your gastronomics and set you ready for the week and the journey ahead. The gospel is certainly sticking you up if you're not right with God. Amen. I don't say that for a joke, but that's truth. Now, I want you to notice, my brother and sister, that we're at the end time. And just before the end time comes for the first junction or the first the time of the destruction of the antediluvian world, there were signs appearing in that day just exactly like there is today. And if I only had time to get off my text for a few minutes, I'd show you how the very atomic powers that destroyed the world then will destroy it again. They built the Sphinx and the pyramids and all those things that no gasoline or no other power in the world built but the atomic power. Right. And some fanatic got a hold of it, of course, and blew it. And when it did, it blew the earth, it sent up right away from the sun. And when anything's hot and goes out in the cold, it causes the vapor, and that's what causes our rain today. Really, the same thing, because it's raining. At this time, the Bible said it won't be water, but fire. And just a few motions out of the orbit right now would burn up with the atoms from the sun. Just exactly what God said would take place. But, well, the scientific proof of His coming is marvelous, which we had a week or two to say here in revival services. You can prove those things, that it's the truth scientifically. The world's at the end time. We're here at the end. Notice that how at that same time, there came a guy forth by the name of Nimrod. He wanted to make a confederation. And he confederated all the churches and all the cities and things that built a city called Babylon. Wish we had time to go in on that Babylon. Watch everything that we have today. Everything we have today come out of Genesis. Genesis means the beginning, the root, the grassroots of all kinds of civil. Every crop we have today originated in Genesis. Every tree and everything else we have today originated in Genesis. The truth we have today originated in Genesis through the blood of the Lamb. The crop we have today originated in Genesis and Babylon. Look, the Babylon appears over here in the first of the Bible. It appears in the middle of the Bible. It appears in the last part of the Bible. So it is. That's where she's growing like a tree coming up. And so does the church appear here along. But Nimrod, an ungodly fellow, went out and got all the people and confederated them together and made one great big union. Look what they're doing today in this nation today. Confederating the churches together and bringing forth a modern Babylon. Remember the social gospel, denying the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and divine healing and so forth, are denying it. It's all God's program that brings people to their knees. We got the same thing today. And right in the time of that great confederation of the unions of that day, what taking place? God had a man on earth that was a genuine oracle. And his name was Enoch. He preached and walked before God perfectly. That was under the name of Noah. God has always his two witnesses. And he appeared, both of them appeared on the scene, preaching the gospel. And remember, just before the coming of the end of that one world that day, angels appeared on the earth at the end time. Prophets appeared on the earth at the end time. Prophets and angels and signs and wonders. It was a warning. And Noah himself hammered the world out of mouth. A miracle for him to build an ark. How would he ever build an ark? An old man out here, the whiskers hanging down, 600 and something years old, out there pounding away on an ark. And it's on a dry land where there had never been a speck of water. And yet he said, there's coming water from the heavens. And the idiotic unbelievers would look up and say, where's the only water? You read that story of that guy talking about he's off at his head. That's the same thing today. But he was preparing an ark for the saving of those who wanted to be saved. And the gospel preacher today that's preaching the gospel of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the second coming is standing away with a thing that people say is crazy. Amen. You know that to be the truth. Noah was filling an ark. He was not only was it a miracle, but he was preparing for a miracle. Now the church today is not only having miracles, but it's preparing for a miracle. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church to be taken up. Getting the church ready, visualized to see signs and to see the omnipotent God, the great power of God moving amongst the people, which the rapture will be an easy thing when Jesus comes. They'll be caught up because they believe in such. Sure, we're at the end time. We're at the junction road. The crossing time, the ending of a dispensation, the beginning of a new. We've been six of those, and we're on the seventh. I want you to notice quickly, Noah building away on the ark, looking forward to a miracle coming. There was miracles are happening. He was preaching the supernatural. What? Yes, sir. He was preaching that there's that God of heaven who will destroy the world with water. And I'm building an ark for the faith. Well, I imagine they thought he was crazy. But when the thunders begin to roar and the lightning flash, even the birds and the animals taking their position, a miracle taking place. When animals begin to come to Noah, is it any much lighter today when we see possums crawl across the road that's beat up and everything else is taking place, even in the animal realms, to prove it that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is near his hand to come? Man, we're at the end time. We're at the junction time. Certainly we are. Notice the man. And when that another thing was that when the waters begin to fall and they seen that the miracle actually was taking place, the outside world had expanded and made fun of him was locked out of mercy. So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Many who laugh and make fun and say the days of miracles is past and miracles happening daily in the believer's life. It'll be too late for him at that day. The doors of mercy will be closed. The sanctuary will become smoky. And there's no more intercession for sin from then on. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's righteous still. And him that's holy, holy still. That's what the Bible says. And we believe it. And you know it, my brethren and sisters. And notice another thing.
are one of the greatest things. When all the pipes begin to fire and the waters begin to raise, instead of Noah drowning, he was at rest in the ark. Amen. Noah, who is our God, was resting at peace as the ark floated along. And a believer today that's in Christ Jesus, don't care how many atomic bombs they talk about, that's not his interest. Today, preachers are trying to be reformers instead of gospel preachers. They're saying, you quit do this, you don't do that. Get my church to do this. That's not our business. The priests are reformers. They're the one who sends them to the penitentiary to reform them. We're gospel preachers to tell them of Jesus Christ and get them born again of the Spirit of God. Then God takes over the person. The Holy Ghost gets into the heart of the man and woman. You know that's true, each one of you. Notice, but as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Eating, marrying, giving in marriage, scoffers, and all these things. We're living at the end time. Signs and wonders begin to appear right among those people. Prophets come. And we're told by God's word, before the end time, prophets shall arise again. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Is that right? Certainly they will. And then it's also predicted that also that your young man shall see visions. People call it mental telepathy. They call it everything. You call you. Jesus said if they call the master out to Beelzebub, how much more will they call them his disciples? We're living in the end time. That's what we are. We see these things. A junction time. Notice, at the antediluvian destruction, the world was wiped off, and God started from the chaos of that time and began to rebuild again. Man finally becomes lovers of themselves. They had great judges and so forth, and they begin to look to the things of the world and explain the preachers of the ministers of those days. Them days is all past. There's no such a thing anymore. And the first thing you know, they come down to the time that when Israel had come down into Egypt and was there for 400 years, the leading nation of the world, because of sin and unbelief, had been brought down because they wouldn't trust God and was in Egypt because God's word said they'd be, promised to Abraham that they would be. And there had to come a junction time that when this segregation had to come. And we're at a junction time now, and God will separate the sheep from the goats. Right. It's segregation time. And watch before God, look out, you didn't even pay attention to nothing. Just let them go ahead. And it explained all the supernatural way. They had other burdens, and they had other things to do. They had brick kills to tend to, and slime kills to tend to. They had things to do to please Pharaoh. All the supernatural had been gone. But one day, God knew that he had to prepare that people for a march. And the first thing God did when he come down, when the omnipotent speech miraculous takes place, God spoke. And when it was a little boy named Moses was born, right? And they seen as soon as he was born, he was a fair child. He got to the best he had left on earth. God's never been without a witness. And the first thing, it was miraculous how God had him pushed out into the dial amongst the crocodiles and things and protected him and brought him back and put him out under Pharaoh's nose and raised him up and educated him. Is that young on the side of the hill one day, a man 80 years old with whiskers who had disobeyed God, when God came down in the righteous in the power of an angel and spoke to him in the burning bush? What was it? It was time for prophets to appear. It was time for angels to appear. It was at the end time. The junctions of the road. God spoke to Moses and came down. He sent Aaron. And when he went out there, the supernatural was done. Why, it was the junction time, the end time. Miracles taking place. And there they had the old false fighters too down there too. The valleys had them. They had them in the days of the antediluvians. They had them in them days. That's good jabbers and jabbers. Saying, well, we can do just as much as you can. You heal one, we'll heal a thousand. That's where we got it today. We got the impersonators. We got people pretending to be when they're not. And the Bible said, as Jabez and Jabez withstood Moses, fell on these men, reprobated minds concerning the truth in the last days at the junction we're at now. And there stood Jabez and Jabez when Moses stood out and performed the miracle of God. They impersonated it and done a miracle too with their state. And Moses called for flags, and they called flags. It says devils turn loose. The Bible says that when the fear, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against it. And we're in this day with a lot of impersonation. Man acting like Christians, pretending to be, and then their heart is black as the smutty walls of hell. There's not a pulpit today that should be out there cutting corn or something. Be better off. There's men with their theology, their great degrees and things like that, and knows more about God than a Hottentot knows about Egyptian night. Talk to him about the power of God and the resurrection. Oh, that's fanatical, preacher. That was in the days gone by. They don't realize what day they're living in. You know that to be the truth. It was in them days. I'm showing you the shadows and so forth and show you what shadow we're in now. But you people here will serve God. I'm not telling you what church to join. That don't make any difference. I'm saying come to Christ. That is. Notice. Jabez and Jonah, what was the test? What was the final test? We're predicting in the last days that the Antichrist will have power. What kind of powers? He'll do great miracles. Did the Bible say so? Sure he did. He said, well, he'll make fire come down out of heaven. Is that right? But not one case did the Bible predict that the Antichrist would heal a sick person. Because he can't. God is the only one that can heal. I'm the Lord who heals all of our diseases. That was a showdown test between the false and the real when it come down out of Egypt. They throwed down their sticks and made snakes. They did the same thing, Jabez and Jonah, before Moses and Aaron. And they performed miracles and so did they. But they could bring the plague of boils, but they broke out through and couldn't get healed. And when Moses and Aaron had power to take it away, it proved, and they said, this is the finger of God. And today, divine healing is considered of the devil by a lot of modern thinkers. That divine healing is of the devil. It's the power of Almighty God that's taken in an individual place in a resurrected Lord Jesus. The things that I do shall you also, even more than this, for I go to my Father. I'll be with you always to the end of the world. The junction time was there. Miracles was performed. God led him out to the Red Sea. And he opened up the Red Sea by faith, Moses and them. Miracles were performed, and the people know that they was at the end time, a junction. Wish we had time to stay longer on it, but we have some more junctions coming. It was a junction time when Abraham and Lot journeyed together, Abraham to be heir of the world, all things. They will have a lukewarm backslidden church member with him, his nephew, good relation to him. And his name was Lot, a lukewarm, modernistic, brotherless church member. That's right, just the very type of today. They had it every age. They got it today, a form of godliness denying the power thereof. They got it today. There was Lot going along, right along, just as religious as he could be. But when it comes to the showdown, to have spiritual understanding, what even begin way back when Cain and Abel, when Cain, a modern man, came to the church, to the altar, build a church. Cain, build a church. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to tell you, my friend, that just going to church and making a confession and doing good works will never save you. You've got to be born again. It has to come into spiritual revelation. Look at Cain. If you could just look, there's two boys, both of them, Cain and Abel. We'll leave the text out here and go back just for a minute. Look at Cain and Abel to begin it with. Sure, you see it's growing tall always, right and long. And it is today. Notice this. When Cain and Abel, both of them, both them both built an altar to God, they built a church to the Lord. Now, if branding the church is all God requires, then he would be... Neither was he a communist. He knelt down and worshiped the Lord. Is that right? Cain worshiped the Lord. Sincere. If sincerity is all God requires, he'd have to justify Cain. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Oh, let me think this deep in your heart. Don't forget it. Spiritual revelation. There was no Bible in that day. God's the only creatures on earth. But by revelation, Abel brought a lamb. Faith. Cain brought work and church membership and the other things and build a church that surely Jehovah likes beauty.
Jehovah has just the big lilies and things sent over the altar like you do on Easter. About the last time to see you till Easter again. What is it? God don't want the Easter lily on the altar. He wants you on the altar. Certainly, any ladies sacrifices down there. He cut the fruits of the field down there. He said, Jehovah, you're beautiful. If you only had time to go back and see, that's the very nature of his daddy, the devil. But by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, said Hebrews 1. Hebrews 11, rather. Here, what happened? Abel, by spiritual revelation, saw that it was blood that brought us into the mortal realm and not fruits of the field. Some preachers even still think to eat apples. My. All right. Anyhow, if I don't say this for a joke. I don't believe in joking. But if you're right, my brother friend, that eating apples made women realize they're naked, better get some apples again. Yes, sir. Because I tell you, it's a sin and a shame the way people are living and doing. Out on the streets, naked young girls and old grandmas and all together, and then go to church and sing in a choir and call yourself religious. Well, your fruits show what you are. What do you want to strip your clothes off for? Only one person in the Bible ever did, his demon possessed. Now, I'm not saying that to be rude. I'm saying that to warn you. This may be the last time I ever see you or speak to you. I want you to remember. Amen. Now watch just a moment. Cain by revelation, or Abel rather by revelation, realizes. Watch when Jesus come down off Mount Transfiguration, the same thing he promised to build his church. Not by written law, not by a bunch of creeds, not by a textbook. When he come down off the Mount Transfiguration, he said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? One of them said, oh, you're Elijah. One said, no, you're Jeremiah. One said, you're the prophet. He said, what do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you. You never learned it in any seminary, out of any textbook. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. What is it? The spiritual revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the witness of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost takes a hold of you and reveals to you that he is the risen supernatural God of himself, then you realize where you're standing. Out of that, you're never born again, and you don't know. You're just taking what Mama said or what the preacher said. But what do you think about it? It'll never be until it's revealed to you. The junction time is here. The head of all things has come. The time end of all times has come. Notice eternity's next. When Lot chose to go down in the well places, or he could build bigger churches, perhaps. That's the modern idea of it. He was in the well-watered place, the big church and all this. And his wife become the head of the ladies' sewing circle, perhaps. Lot was the mayor of the city. He had things easy. Everything. What did he do? He got down there to the world, got in such a chaos, until man absolutely failed to have natural use of their body and become perverted. The perversion was to be a sign of the end. And today, that perversion and homosexual is on the increase, that even 40% of our national government is possessed with perversion. That's newspapers. Right. In California, the letters that comes to me from the mothers and things up and down are where women have become the god of the world. And the federal clappers of make men bow quicker than anything in the world. Women with their dirty, rotten dress, and you look through your televisions and things, you see some of them old girls out there that's cut on all this stuff, and you go out and try to impersonate them and don't realize they've been married 4 or 5 times, and some of them may fit to be door rugs. And you make that your example and say, the humble Lord Jesus, who died at Calvary to save you from sin, take your choice today. Amen. Modern half-list church members cannot tell you how Jesus was born or any man of these things, but they can sure look in one of these old love story magazines and tell you who wrote it and what time this actress done this or that. It's a shame. You say, what are you preaching, brother? I'm telling you the truth, and I want you to listen to me. Sir, it's a disgrace from the way things are going on. in our modern world today, a sign of the end times. That's what they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah. The natural use of bodies. The man becomes so plain to women today, there's not even respect. They'll hardly take off their hat man will in front of women, and they have no respect for them at all. What's that? The women dance herself. And you all talk about juvenile delinquency and things. I think it's bad delinquency. Some of you let your girls go out and run around all night with a cigarette smoking, cocktail drinking, party. Come in the next morning, your clothes half off of her, old makeup all over her face and that. And you call the Kentucky mothers ignorant. Try to catch that little dog, Patcher Abner, make fun of the Kentucky mothers. Ask some of my people up in there. Let one of them girls start that up there. Brother, I'll tell you, she wouldn't get out of bed for 6 months. She'd take a hickory limb and beat what clothes she had left on her off. If you had something like that back in the church today, you'd have better. Man, God give us the old-time mother. I've got two girls coming. I don't know what they'll be. I see them laying out on the beaches half naked before men stretching themselves out there trying to get a suntan. Brother, I may not live. But if God lets me live and keep my right mind, if one of mine does it, she'll get a suntan. It'll be Mr. Branham's son with a barrel strapped behind her. She'll be tanned all right. She'll know where I come from, too. Yes, sir, we need the day of old-fashioned, God said, St. Paul's revival. And the Bible, Holy Ghost, and all this old chicka-chocka. Halfway formal religion spoke up, and Jesus Christ preached in the power of his resurrection, where signs and wonders and miracles can take place again in the church before the end time. And we are going to have it. Get that. Oh, devil's out of hell. Can't stop it, for God said it would be here. It's going to be here. Sure it is. Sodom and Gomorrah, the junction time comes. Evil set in. Then when evil set in, God had a true prophet appear, Abraham. Amen. What happened? Angels come in the form of man. That's right, isn't it? Angels come up in the form of man. The end time was there. The junction time. They preached to this crowd of crowds, and without any effect, the same thing we're getting today. Right? But God swept those cities throughout the whole plains there and burnt every city and destroyed everything. And a disgrace was left as Lot's wife standing as the pillar saw even to this day. Of her looking back and warning as a warning at another junction's coming on. Certainly, the daughters and things even sniggered and laughed at them preachers preaching the truth. And they do the same thing today. Certainly they do. The end time. Wish we had longer to dwell on it. We'll go to another. There's come a time where there had to be a junction in Israel when Ahab married Jezebel, a little painted-up flapper, and turned all the idol, all God into church into an idolatry. Just about the same thing he's done today. When spiritual people have got so formal until they got the church to nothing but a lodge. You know that's true. No need to hide it. It's the truth. Just a lodge. Join the lodge. Change your paper. You pack it from the Methodist to the Baptist to the Presbyterian. Every time a little thing comes up you don't like, you pack your paper. That wore it out. Won't you tear the thing up anyhow and put your name on the book of life in heaven where it won't be packed around from place to place? Right. Nothing against Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. Nothing against them. But it's the way you're living in them. A lot of it's caused of failing to preach the gospel and warn the people. Right. What we need is more warning, more gospel preaching. Just a moment before we close. Notice, when the junction time came, God had a prophet appear on earth, Elijah. He had angels appear on earth. Absolutely. He had signs and wonders to appear on earth. He shut the heavens that it didn't rain in the days of his prophecy. He done other things and miracles and signs before the people to prove it. That's another one. The fourth one. What's the fifth one coming up? They've done got all through judges and lawyers and judges and so forth and lawyers of the laws and so forth. They've got down to explained all the power away. There's no such a thing as miracles anymore. And they've got carried off into Babylon and wars and troubles. That's what we have now. But there come a junction time. Hallelujah! Now, I know you're going to call me a holy roller anyhow, so you might as well get started. I feel good. For I know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lives and reigns. There's people who will believe him. That's right. so there, when I see that there, just before the end time comes, there was an honest man by the name of Zechariah who had prayed earnestly for a child. And what happened? An angel appeared on earth for the first time since Malachi. Hundreds of years. And an angel appeared and told Zechariah a miracle was going to take place. And he believed it. Didn't believe it first. But God absolutely, because it had been so dull, so well, he had Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, and all of them back there to believe, and Hannah at the temple. But he failed and said, oh, that was God a long time ago. He can't do it today. And that angel said, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. My words will be fulfilled in their season. Because that you have tied me, you'll be dumb till the day the baby's born. You'll call his name John. Amen. The junction time had come. Oh, sure, there's a space. All the miracles is all explained away, but the days of miracles was coming back again. There was a changing from the law to grace. The dispensations is changing again. The junction time. And every time we come to a junction, things happen. Omnipotence speaks. Miracles take place. Certainly. God spoke. And a woman that's way past age of having a child had it. And then when he wrote on the slate, John, the angel over there healed him. He had divine healing. There come another angel. The same angel appeared to a little woman who had never had a baby, never wasn't even married, and said she was going to have a baby. And she believed it. When he was born, he started off, the first thing he started seeing visions, like the Bible said he would. Telling people they're wrong and who they were. The Pharisees said, the days of miracles is past. There's nothing to that guy. He's Beelzebub. Jesus said, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those his disciples? So if I have Beelzebub cast out devils, who do you cast them out by? All right. There they started. Away they went. Signs and wonders begin to follow the master as he went on from healing the sick. That's how praise stands. Then as he began to feed the fishes and break bread and turn their atoms loose and create powers and things. Then from that he went to raising the dead. Miracles begin to grow faster and faster and faster and faster as the junction time comes. That's the same thing taking place today. There's an hour coming when this world will shake with the powers of God. Right. And you're seeing it happen right before you now. Here it is. The miracles begin to take place. Set in. It's nearing the end. Jesus began to warn. And as he went on, miracle after miracle started happening. Greater and greater started happening as he went on. And finally they hung him on the cross. And God answered from heaven. The sun refused to shine. The moon turned dark. The stars wouldn't show its light. And the Son of God died at Calvary. And he said, the sight is taken until the sun had convulsions and went out. Amen. Nature's taking place, answered back. Miracles. Signs. And still I'm hard-hearted religious people walking around saying, well, he's just a spiritualist. That's all. He just Beelzebub. And at the same time they did that, the earth had a nervous postulation. On Easter morning, it shook so high on the nervousness until it filled the dead bodies of those in the grave out and could not appear to many. Amen! Signs and wonders. We're at the end time, at the junction. Then went forth the gospel, 1,500 years of dark ages. Then come another junction when Protestantism cut itself loose from Catholicism at the early Reformation with Luther. Signs and wonders too. Luther and Wesley, John Wesley, when he preached and found healing and healed the sick, and signs and wonders followed his revival, and you know it to be the truth. You can say it in a Methodist church today and they kick you out the door. When John Wesley, right here, him in Whitfield, when he was riding on his horse to go pray for a sick woman, his horse fell and broke his leg, and he got up and took his anointing oil and anointed the horse from the oil in the name of the Lord, and got on it and rode away. Junction time. Amen. Right there in England now, where he's preaching divine healing, and the High Church of England persecuting him as it is today, and they turned the foxhounds and fox loose. He pointed his finger in the face and said, the son of us put on your head three times till you be calling for me to pray for you. He died that night with cramps, so I was gone with him to pray for you. Junction time. Hallelujah. Now you become so colonized. You become so organized. See each one of your little petty organizations. believe that this is now, and I belong to this, I belong to that. Oh, you poor, miserable person. If that's all you've got to hang to, God be merciful to your sinful soul. The time has come when the clergyman has raised up to be some kind of actors in the stiff. What's the matter today? They don't have the old-fashioned religion they used to have. Today you got too much Hollywood evangelism. Some little sissified guy with manicured hair set up, and a bunch of women with earrings hanging down like the devil's skirts, and enough paint on their face to paint a barn, and bobbed hair. And that used to be a sin among you holy people. What happened? You did run well. The Bible still says it's a sin. Run. Oh my, you saintly people, you bob your hair and you do all these things. Now don't get angry. If it makes you sick, just take it anyhow, it'll do you good. Run. Oh, you Pentecostal people, you used to be very holy, but what happened? You did run well. Paul said, what would hinder you? If it was a sin then, it's a sin now. The devil might have went out of fashion, but he didn't go out of business. He's still in business. That's right. You know that's the truth. No need of squirming around about it. You know that's the truth. Yes, sir. But what is it? It's a sign of the end time. Now again, the pastor, old brother Methodist preacher friend of mine, old brother Sturgeon used to sing this, we let down the bars, we let down the bars, we compromise with sin, we let down the bars, the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in? You let down the bars, that's what's the matter. Old John Smith, when he was nearly 90 years old, stood up and they had to pack into the pulpit. He preached a short sermon, only 2.5 hours was all longer he could preach. In a Methodist church. And he said, oh, such a disgrace. He said, my heart is a burning within me. For the daughters of the Methodist church has become so foul till they're wearing gold rings upon their fingers. What would you think to do with a pair of shorts on? Oh, God be merciful. Don't you see what I mean? No wonder such people as that and such preaching as letting the bars down and compromising. Taking membership instead of fellowship with Christ. And that's the upper room where we used to go and pray, and you old-fashioned Methodists and Baptists follow the floor with the Holy Ghost and the dash water in your face and pan with a fan. You old mammies and daddies know that. But today, oh my, my. No, the very audacity, oh, they wouldn't, oh my, no, they wouldn't believe in that. It's too bad. Just too bad that you don't. You ought to go back to the old way again. But today you let on the bars, and you see what you got? You hacked out a bunch of infidels, social gospel preachers with education instead of salvation, compromising with the world. That's right. You say, preacher, what are you so hard about? It's time to be hard. Right. Time to tell the truth. Word to a man. Could you imagine John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost when Herod come out living with his brother Philip's wife, and here the deacons come and say, don't you preach on marriage and divorce? Now, I'll tell you who he is. He's got his brother Philip. Old John full of the Holy Ghost. Could he hold his peace? With that old piece of sheepskin wrapped around his hairy chest, he walked out and said, it's not possible for you to have her. Amen. God, give us some more men like that who will call black, black, and white wives. Who will preach the gospel uncompromised. The old rugged gospel of Jesus Christ, and believe this dear old black Bible to be the truth, and take Jesus Christ as Savior. Things will happen. Miracles will come back in the church. You know that's true. The end time, the social preachers have begun to say, all the days of miracles is past. There's no such a thing as that. It's nonsense. But God has arose on the scene again. Omnipotent is speaking. The sick being healed, the blind see, the deaf hear, the cripples walk, devils are cast out, power has come, the Holy Ghost is putting gifts in the church, manifesting, man is seeing visions, prophets are appearing. What is it? It's at the end time. We're at the junction. And if Jesus Christ at his coming to settle sin produced such a thing as he did on that day, and remember, there were tens of thousands rejected it, millions rejected it, and there'll be tens of millions rejected. And now when the devil turns loose with every power of hell, how much more will he come with his impersonations and acting to be as it is in that day, and so will it be in this day. We're at the end time. God's showing signs and wonders. Christian people, you who are professed without being possessed of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you give up that stubborn will of yours and come to God and be regenerated and born again of the Spirit of God? If in your heart you don't believe in the miraculous, you don't believe that God does these things today. If God is still God, He's got to be the same God. If He's lost His power, He's a dead God. What good does the God of Elijah do you? Ask you something. What good does the God of Moses do you if He's dead? What good is the God of Elijah do you if He's dead? If He isn't the same, then He's a historical something. But He is not a historical Christ. He is a risen Christ. And all His power and the fullness that He ever was, He is today living among us right now, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Where's the junction time? Look for everything to happen. The nerves, the world's a trembling. And ministers are saying, well, you know, strange, the medical science is recognizing those things. You're writing pages about it. Why, the paper's full of miracles are happening. What's it all about? Well, I tell you, Dr. Jones, we'll talk about the dying healing. Well, we'll see what Moody said about it. Moody was all right. He was all right for his day, but he won't work today. A French scientist 300 years ago, scientifically proved science, modern. He proved that if a man would ever go the terrific speed of 30 miles an hour, gravitation would take him off the earth. You think science today refer back to that fella? We're going 1,600 miles per hour today and still moving on. Because science is eating off this tree of knowledge. And we are over here, the preachers, knowledge will only run so far and then it falls backwards. But the tree of life has no end to it. We got untapped resources, and you're scared to step out and take God at His word. I don't care if you want. Moody was all right. He was in his day, like that scientist was. But, brother, we're not traveling the ox cart. The Church of the Living God is moving to a jet plane. We're moving off the road, signs and wonders. And we're just starting. Omnipotent is speaking. The miraculous is happening. Why don't you get in and go with us? We'd be glad to have you along. Call you our brother, sister. I'm not meaning it as you're not, in a sense, but I want you to get into the blessing. One day, the Bible says that things will break out on this earth, and diseases and things, and all people will be plagued and pressure right on them and so forth. But the Bible says, don't you come near any of those who has the seal of God in their forehead. And the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you had that, brothers. I don't want to disagree with you. I've been a seventh day. There's no scripture for that. But the Bible in Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of your redemption. And the mark of the Antichrist is to reject that Holy Ghost, which you're sealed outside the kingdom forever, with no way to ever be forgiven. He that speaks against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. There's your mark of the beast and the seal of God in one little handful. The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the mark of the Antichrist is denied. Now you're marked one way or the other. Don't you want to have the Holy Ghost today? If you people here would just only believe with a few moments of prayer, signs and wonders would take place in this church this afternoon. Anything could happen. But we're at the junction time. This is the seventh junction. What's the next, Brother Branham? We're going into the millennium. That's right. Time will cease at this junction, and eternity will begin for us, and never more. And if it had been through all of these things in all the world's history, it's climaxing in this great drama. What's the matter? What makes people so nervous? Why is even psychiatrists are coming to be prayed for? Why is it the world's in a nervous age, an erotic age, when people can't wait down the street 90 miles an hour, stop in the beer jar 2 hours before they go home, run over people? What's the matter? What's everybody in such a hurry? You can't visit your neighbor. You don't have no friendship. Don't know who lives next door to you. You ain't got time to this. In a hurry. What's the matter? There's a great drama being set. That's right. And the lion-hungered nations are ravishing in. But just before he gets able to take it, God will take his church. I watched an old eagle one day when she's up in her nest. Stirring up her nest, the Bible said how they would do. I was herding cattle on a ranch. That's way back up the top of the mountain. It's in the springtime. And I put my binoculars on. I said, what is that up there? I heard a lot of squawking going on. is that old mother eagle taking those little ones from the old pukey nest down the stinkiest place you ever seen, where they bring the food in. That poor little eagle knowed nothing else but just the old stinky nest, walked on thorns and thistles, and the old mother got them on her wings, and she went down into the valley and spread forth her wings, and all those little eaglets run all around. I said, if that ain't an old-time camp meeting, I've never seen one. The world being taken out of the old pukey nest, excuse that expression, but an old nest of the world where just stinking vomit and everything and filth of the world and adultery and debauches and whiskey and every other thing that could go on, card parties and everything. And Christians, professed Christians, do that. And Pentecostal people, you're not immune from it. I've been right in your places that done it too. I don't think because you've gone to the Pentecostal church, God don't recognize the Pentecostal church more than he recognizes any of the rest of them. He recognizes an individual faith in him. That's all. No matter what it is. Don't call pot, can't call kettle black. Now, let me tell you. There when she led these little eagles out there, they'd been in that old nest, they didn't know nothing but his hard life and all this like that. The sinner does. But when just walking on this little soft grass, they were just chirping and tumbling, little turning little tumbles over one another. I said, if that ain't an old time meeting I'd ever seen one. Just carefree, biting a little piece of grass here, a little piece there. I thought, why are they so carefree? Watch nature, you'll see God. I noticed that old mother eagle, as soon as she left her ruins off, she soared way beyond her into the skies, to the highest rock that she could find. I turned my glasses on her. I looked at her. There she was, sitting up there, her big, stately body frame, working those feathers, looking around. I thought, you know what? I thought, that poor little eagle, I watched her, her eye was a-watching. I said, now, Lord, what's this to show me? Watching nature, you can see God if you watch the way nature moves. I thought, that's right. God taking his church out of the old nest of the world. He's setting them in Beulah land here where they're just shouting and praising God and having a good time and rejoicing in the old camp meeting. I thought, well, what if a coyote would come up? Now, I haven't turned the glasses back. I've seen her eyes looking back. I thought, that's right, Lord. You climb the ramparts of glory. You sat down on the right hand of God, and his eyes on the star. And I know he watches me. He watches you. Oh, his eyes to protect us. Anybody thought that coyote would get around there, he'd get his eyes frogged out in a minute. That's right. So what you got to worry about, as long as his eyes on you, watch, just have a good time and rejoice. Praise God. Treat your neighbor right. Live right. Do right. Act right. Be a real Christian and be not bound down with fear or wonder what to come in. Don't make any difference. You're going to the rapture. That's right. Dead or alive, you're going to rapture anyhow. Even death can't separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. Then after a while, I lay there just an hour. I lay across the log like this, watching. And the first thing you know, I heard a little thunder in the distance, a northerner come up. A quick flash of rain comes, and the sky turns green back there, and the thunder's wrapped. And I've seen old mother, she raised that head, she sent it up storm, and whenever she did, she let out a big scream, and here she comes. She screamed as loud as she could. Every one of them little eaglets run together like that. She spread forth her big wings, and each little eaglet put his foot right in her feathers like that, tuck his little mouth and tuck a hole like that. That old mother lifted them eaglets like that on her wings. The storm coming down the mountain, she pierced her way through that wind going at 60 miles an hour, right into that rock to the cliff. I thought, oh God, someday you're coming. Holding on to the wings of the cross through the storms of life. Oh God, to take me down to the rock. Here's Gary, Indiana, not long ago, I was down there watching something take place. They're taking me through one of those mills down there, those great big places where they make all these machine pieces. And the man taking me up as I'm closing now, listen. And he was showing me around the factory, this whole lot of machines laid there turning this stuff. And all at once, while he's telling, explained it all to me, we were standing up high. And just then a little bell rung. Every man laid up his apron and began to sweep the shavings down in the middle of the floor. I said, why are you doing that for? I said, Reverend Branham, I'll show you something in a few minutes. I said, all right. He swept it all out in the middle of the aisle, each man. Waited just a few minutes, another little whistle, choo-choo, and away everybody went. Well, the place was empty. He said, now watch. And he pressed the button. And he pressed the button. I heard something coming. Going roar, 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 way back in the back. I go, what is that? He said, just wait a minute. And when he came, he said, step back. I stood back like this, and down through there come a great big magnet. and went right down across that floor about a foot or two off the floor, and every one of those shavings picked out upon that magnet like that, and off out down there it went back over there, and they demagnetized it and dropped down in the cupola to be made new material. I said, "Hallelujah!" He said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I just feel good." He said, "What you talking about?" I said, "I know of another big magnet to come in someday." Hallelujah. God will press the button. And when it does, I said, "I want to ask you something." I said, "Why didn't all them shavings go?" He said, "You see, some of them are not magnetized to that magnet. Some of them are aluminum. And that magnet won't pick them up." I said, "Glory!" Sure, you can be a shaving, you can be in the church, but you better be magnetized, Gunner. That's right. I said, "Why don't they wear a piece of iron?" Lord, he said, "You see, Minister Branham, it's bolted down." Oh, God, have mercy! Let's be magnetized with the Holy Ghost, that when Jesus comes from the sky, someday he'll pick up these old frail bodies of humiliation, and we'll be taken to God's molded pot and come out immortal again to live forever. Some glorious day, but only those who are magnetized will go. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, in thy precious name we come to thee humbly with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all of our minds. We're at the junction time, Lord. Oh, eternal, omnipotent God, your speaking signs are appearing. When thou speakest, Lord, signs appear. I pray thee, precious Heavenly Father, today that you'll speak to every ungenerated, regenerated heart in this building, and may they become your children from this day on. Granted, Heavenly Father, thou knowest them, and they know all that's yours. You said, "All that's mine will come to me. All that thou hast given unto me will come to me." And I pray, God, that there would be some here today that the Father has given you. And by the preaching, faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word, and knowing that we're at the junction times, the end time of the world, that we're weighed in the balance and found wanting. There's many maybe around through the world today, yes, millions and millions of people who doesn't believe that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. They have a form of godliness and deny your power, deny your word, and yet they're swaying thousands of poor children into eternity without hope, without God and lost, with their social things about believing. You said they'd have forms of godliness, they'd belong to churches, they'd have rituals, they'd be baptized in many ways and sprinkled in many ways and every other thing, all the forms, and study catechisms and be taking church papers, form of godliness, but would deny the power thereof. The power to give a man a Holy Ghost to change his life and make him a new creature. He said, "From such turn away." And we're in that day, Lord. I pray that you'll rise up thousands of voices everywhere to cry out in this day that the ark is being prepared, Christ's body is being formed, and someday to be caught up in the air to be with him forever. Oh, eternal God, if such a person is in here today under strong preaching and strong doctrine, I pray, Father, that conviction has come to soul. I've sowed the word, now you water it, Father, and may they accept it today for Jesus' sake. And while we have our heads bowed in this visible, this auditorium here now, if there's a man or woman here that hasn't been born again, it's up to you, friend. This may be the last time you'll ever hear my voice. And perhaps if I'd come back a year from the day, as many of you sitting here could not be here, you'll be in eternity. And I may be myself. I don't know. That's in the hands of God. But even with these few hundred people we got right in here, maybe 200 or 300 people this afternoon, there are bound to be some of you gone by next year. You know that. It's marked in your cards, ready to be tucked out of the rack at any time. Are you really, really born again? Do you know it? Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." And if you're not, and you're conscious enough with your right mental condition to realize that you're without Christ, then if you're not born again, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he will in no wise, no matter how good you are, what you've done, no wise will he ever even see the kingdom of God." And if you're in that condition today, will you do as much as this? Raise up your hand and
to God and say, be merciful to me and give me this experience of being born again, Heavenly Father? Do you believe it? Would you raise your hand? Is there a person anywhere in divine presence? God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. Bless you, my little sister. That sincerity, the honest, honest sincerity, you should believe at this time. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day. Now is the time. Now is the time to believe it. Would there be another hand? Remember, I might see your hand. But it don't count whether I see it or not. It's whether God sees it. What if in the morning or tonight sometime you'd have to turn on and feel a real strange pain in your side? You'd have to say, well, what's this? You call for the doctor. That pain's going down your side, doctor. Say, heart attack. Just a few more minutes. Then what about this experience of being born again? What about knowing Jesus? Or you say, well, I know the mayor of the city. I'm well acquainted with the pastor. That ain't what I'm talking about. What about being born again and knowing Jesus? Don't guess at it. Just don't imagine you are. But you must be born again. I don't mean a fanatical, emotional, mental workup. I mean a real experience. I can only speak as a voice. I'm only a man. That's true. And you have a right to doubt me if you wish to. I'm only bringing you the unadulterated Word of God and telling you the truth. Then it's up to you to what you do with it. If you believe the message I've told you today, it was at the end time, and man without God will be cut off without any remedy at all, and that may be in the next hour for you. And then you mean to tell me that you won't raise your hand and say, God, be merciful to me. God bless you, lady. You bring your little baby for prayer. Yeah, God bless you. May it grant it to you. Come on out. Now just think it over. Just think. What if this is your last day? It may not be. I hope it's not. I hope you live to see Jesus come. I hope that's many, many years from now. But I don't know. There's one thing I do know. You're going. And you know you're going. If you're not positive that you're right, will you just raise your hand to God? All right. God bless you, and God bless you, sister. Two more people raise their hands. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's name. When tears plunge beneath the flood, I remember what they do. Lose all their guilty stains. Every bit of it. All gone. You believe that you'll lose it right now? If you believe it with all your heart and all your guilty stains will be all out, can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Every man that ever mattered anything, believe that. Just to think of what Christ means to man. What did Christ mean if we could call the prophets together? What did it mean to them? What they had answered? What would it mean to the Roman centurion who put his hand over his heart and said, truly, that's the Son of God? What would it mean to Judas Iscariot? What would it mean to Caiaphas? What would it mean today to the poets of the world? What would you think of even this guy that wrote these old vulgar songs that the little ladies and little boys and girls of our school are singing, these dirty old pauper songs today, sending their little souls into mires of hell? What do you think it would mean to them if Jesus comes? What do you think all these your vulgar, dirty pictures and things, what do you think it would mean today if they come? What did Christ mean to Eddie Pruitt when he was persecuted for righteousness' sake? When one day they wouldn't receive his letters, they wouldn't receive his poetry, they wouldn't receive him, they wouldn't even take his songs. And one day he sang that, he was crying, and he picked up the pen, the Holy Ghost took a hold of it. He wrote, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He wrote the inauguration song of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. We could ask him, what does it mean? We could mean, how so, what did he say? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds are sinking sands. All other grounds are sinking sands. What could I say to today, the old blind Fanny Crosby, what would he mean to you, blind Fanny Crosby? You never seen daylight in your life. What does he mean to you? She said, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. All others are calling, do not pass me by. Thou the stream of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Another wrote, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified freely forever. Someday he's coming, oh glorious day. Can you join your heart those melodies of God? May God bless you. Now, I appreciate your fine attendance and all you've done. Is there anybody here sick wants to be remembered in prayer? Now, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody sick? Lady, one, all right, sir. That's very fine. Praise the Lord for you. Now, the very same gospel that I preach to you here of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ will take every sin from you, will take every sickness from you. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's the reason I preach the thing to do. By His stripes we were healed. Jesus said in the Bible, listen what Jesus said in St. John 3, as Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What did Moses lift up the brass serpent for? Because the people were chatting and backsliding again, talking about God's servant and God, and they were bitten by snakes and were sick and dying, and it was lifted up for the forgiveness of their sins and for the healing of their bodies. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the brass serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The same reason. And today He's wounded for our transgression with His stripes. You were already past tense healed. Can you believe it? Can you accept it? Your cancer will leave you. Your tumor will go away. Your blindness will go from your eyes. Deafness from your ears. No matter what it is, He'll do it if you will believe. You believe it? Where's the pastor at? Come here, pastor. I want you to stand with me in prayer. How many ministers are in here believes in prayer for the sick? I see your hands. Well, God bless you. I didn't know there's so many preachers here. That's very fine. That's just a fine-looking crowd. But now that's very fine. God bless you. I wonder if you would join with me today in a word of prayer for these people that's sick and afflicted. You who are sick, again, raise up your hands so the pastors can see where you're sitting. You see where you are, pastors? The one standing near you, let's get up out of our seat, pastor, and stand around and face the crowd. That's right. That's fine. Stand right around and face your crown. Let's join prayer. Pastor, you come here with us. Listen, if you're here today and you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, if you claim you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, look at these pastors. They're here today because they believe in this gospel that we're preaching. They're here because that they love the Lord Jesus. They're here because they believe in this gospel. And if you want to get close to God, if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, somebody who will stay with you and pray with you until you come to go to their church. You know who they are. These pastors here that are standing, they're God-fearing men. They're from here, somewhere around here in our neighborhood. And you know them. And they're all God's children. Now you go to the closest of your choice of these churches and get right with God. Do that. And these men, each one of them believes in divine healing, or they wouldn't be standing to their feet. They're not ashamed of it. They're standing here today to take their stand to say, I'm a man who believes in divine healing. I pray for the sick, these men of God. Now, I appreciate them and love them with all my heart. And I pray that God will bless your ministries, my brother. May they increase the devils of what they are now. And may you win many souls to Christ and great healing signs and wonders take place in your little churches around here as you're preaching and standing for this full gospel message. Now, while we all bow our heads in prayer, may the Lord God send His blessings to each one of you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for those who raised their hands a while ago saying they desired to be born again. They wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and be sealed into the kingdom of God. Now, right here in the neighborhood and right around the places here where these people come from, here are pastors, your shepherds, Lord, who's feeding your flock. And they're standing here not ashamed, but standing boldly in the presence of God to let the people know that they believe in this marvelous old gospel. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
They believe in the second coming of Christ. They believe that they're at the end time, and they're trying their best, Lord, in little corners of the world to win people to you. Oh, eternal God, bless their ministry abundantly. I pray that you anoint them with preaching power, with healing power, and the virtues of God until the little churches will cry out. Great times and wonders will take place, and may there come an old-fashioned revival out of churches here that will sweep the whole state. Grant it, Lord. Give them an old-fashioned outpouring of the Holy Ghost. May it start from this very little gathering together. Father, those who raise their hands, may the sun not shine in the morning until they have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at one of these little church services tonight. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Now those who are sick and afflicted, God, I pray that you'll be merciful to them. We've introduced to them the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and praying that you'll grant their faith now will reach up even before they leave this building and will be made well, every one of them, of the diseases they have. Oh, Lord, some 8, 10 people raise their hands or more that they want to be remembered in this prayer for the sick. And I ask thee with all my heart, as your servant stands here facing this audience and this people in the presence of God, that the Holy Ghost will come down like a rushing wind and will anoint this little group of people, Father, as the powers that raised Jesus from the grave will quickly snatch away the darkness from around them as they arrive to their feet and be made well. Grant it, Lord, as man of renown stands praying, as we offer this prayer to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With your head bowed, your heart bowed, your humble hearts are waiting on God. I want you to sing this song with me as real slowly now, and think of it as we learn. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. Do you believe it? If you believe it, rise up to your feet as a testimony, saying, I now take Jesus Christ as my healer, and from this very hour on, I'll trust him the rest of my days, giving him praise. If you do it while we sing this song again, stand to your feet. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can. Jesus heals me now. I take him at his word. I take him at his word. He brings to me salvation free. And I take him at his word. For I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. Isn't he wonderful?
Hallelujah.
Don't you love him?
Praise.
Now, there's the Methodist on one side, the Baptist the next door, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, the Pentecostals. I want you while we sing, isn't he wonderful? Reach around and shake the hand of your neighbor. Just a moment. We're not dismissed. We're not through with the service yet. Just shake your neighbor of your hand while we can sing some song. What good song do you know here is real good, brother?
Wonderful.
Isn't he? All right. Lead it for us, brother. All right. Shake one other hand.
Isn't he
wonderful?
Wonderful, wonderful,
wonderful,
isn't
and we're great big strong looking men like you are, great big strong women like you are. I don't think you can say praise the Lord. Let's say praise the Lord. Come on. Praise the Lord! That sounds more like a meeting. Oh, my. I know. You say, that's the minister was one morning. He said, why did you holler so loud in your sermon? He said, honey, well, I didn't have lightning. I made up in thunder. But you have to have lightning to make the thunder. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? The Lord bless you. Oh, love you. Love the Lord with all your heart. Raise your hands. Love the Lord with all my heart. Faith in the Father. Faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost, three in the one. Demons will tremble and sinners awake. Faith in Jehovah will anything shake. Is that right?
Yeah.
If you got faith, have faith in God, Jesus said when he was here on earth. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. March forward in the victory. All right, be up. I'll appreciate being gathered here with you. All your nice things, and God bless you, and God bless our little pastor. Now while we bow our heads all over the audience, we're going to pray again. As you bow your head, I give the service now to the pastor, Brother Jackson. All right, with heads bowed.
Praise the Lord.